Father, we come before you this morning. We come before you this evening, and we thank you, Lord. I thank you that everyone got here safely. Oh, Lord, it's Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you we've made it so far. And so, Lord, I pray that for the next hour or so, Lord, we carve out this time for you to speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, as we go through the book of Proverbs, as we learn about godly wisdom and what that looks like and what that means. We thank you so much, Lord, that your word is so simple. And so, Lord, help me to make it simple tonight. And would you speak to every heart that is in this room, every heart that is watching, and every heart that would watch or listen later. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. And Lord, I do pray for all of those people who are part of our fellowship, who are struggling right now with physical issues, Lord, who need a touch from you, who need to be healed. We ask, Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask that you would touch them, Lord. We ask that you would heal them. And we ask that you would encourage them, Father. And again, Father, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Proverbs 8. That's where we left off last week. And so one thing we're going to notice about Proverbs 8 is Proverbs 8 is going to talk about the excellency of wisdom. Okay? And so you know how last week we talked about, in part of chapter 6, part of chapter 7, we talked about the adulterous woman. And that was a picture of the world's foolishness. Well, now we're going to hit chapter 8. And chapter 8 is going to talk all about the excellency of wisdom. And remember, I told you this when we started the book, that one of the ways that wisdom is portrayed in the book of Proverbs is that of a woman, okay? Now, I'll read the first couple of verses, and then we'll back up and unpack. So it says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill or heights, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." And so G. Campbell Morgan, who was a Bible commentary, he's a pastor, made this comment about chapter 8. There is nothing greater or grander in all the Bible literature as a setting forth the beauty of grace, of that what wisdom has the fear of Jehovah, as it's the chief part. In other words, remember we talked about in the very beginning that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord and a reverence. And so chapter 8 talks all about the first 21 verses. Wisdom is personified in this chapter. Now, he says, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice?" And you kind of read that and you go, okay, so wisdom is kind of speaking loud so everybody can hear. Compare it with chapter 7, the adulterous woman. What did she do? She talked quietly. She said quiet, seductress, kind of flattering things. Where wisdom's saying, "Here I am. Here I am. I'm crying out." And she takes her stand on the top of the high hill or the heights, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates of the city, or at the entry of the city. Now, the reason, and we've talked about this before as we've gone through Psalms too as well, the reason oftentimes the Old Testament they talk about the gates is that is where all the business was done. If the gates of the city were all where the elders, the older people would be, the older men would be, the businessmen, etc., and that's where you would do all your business, at the gate of the city. Now, the other way to look at it too is, if you're an older person, generally speaking, as you live life's experiences, what are you supposed to get from that? Wisdom. You're supposed to get wisdom. And so she says that she cries out by the gate. So she's not only at the highest heights, and she's also where the paths meet, but she's also at the gates of the city where all the business is done. And at the entrance of the doors. See, anywhere and everywhere that men or women, quite frankly, are to be found, there she is. Her cry and her entreaty sounding above all the bustle of life. See, that's the whole thing. Wisdom can push through the busyness of life. We're all busy. We all have all kinds of priorities and things that we need to do. But using wisdom sometimes takes us to take a break and think things through and seek God for his wisdom. And God will give it to you if you ask him. Did you ever notice that? It says in James, if you ask, for wisdom, what does it say? He'll give it to you. Now, at the entrance of the doors, verse 3, it says, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones or naive ones, understand prudence." The idea there is self-control and good judgment. "And you fools." Now, I love this. I looked up the word fool in the Hebrew here, and it means stupid fellow, dullard, insolent. Okay? So I just got a kick out. Stupid fellow. Do you want to be a stupid fellow? Talking about accents before the study. Would you like to be a stupid fellow? You know, you wouldn't want to be a stupid fellow. Don't be a fool. And so you naive ones, understand prudence, understand self-control and good judgment. See, that's something that we lack in our culture today is self-control. You know, self-control leads to good judgment, doesn't it? But see, the problem that we have today is we want whatever we want now, and we don't want to wait for it. And oftentimes, I have found when I wait for certain things, it always turns out better. So, O you simple ones, verse 5, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. Love it. And from the opening of my lips, now this is wisdom speaking, okay, in a sense. And from opening of my lips will come right things. You can never go wrong with godly wisdom, can you? For my mouth will speak truth. Oh my goodness, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that so encouraging? You want to look to where truth is? Well, truth is God's word, and you look to biblical or godly wisdom, and there's always truth in that. God will never steer you the wrong way. He'll never steer you towards evil. He'll never steer you towards foolishness. Never. And, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 23, I guess it was. So I'm going to be 49. How many, 26 years? So for 26 years, I can honestly stand here and tell you that God has never steered me to foolishness. Never. I've steered myself, don't get me wrong, because I didn't listen to him. But when I've sought godly wisdom, he has given it to me, and it's been a blessing. He's never steered me toward foolishness. And let me tell you, that's a good way to know if you're doing something wrong. If you know something is dumb, what you're about to do, probably it is, and it probably isn't in God's will, so don't do it. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination. When he says abomination, he says detestable thing. That's what it means, an abomination. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked. Now, this is interesting. The word crooked there means perverse, twisted, or distorted, or perverse. Perverse means crooked or morally perverse is the idea. So it's almost like, you guys ever see the commercials for Little Caesar Pizza? Pizza, pizza? It's almost like perverse, perverse. I don't speak perverse, perverse. Okay? Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They all are plain to him, listen, who understands, and write to those who will find knowledge. Interesting. So if you seek godly wisdom, see, wisdom, what comes alongside with wisdom is understanding. So if you seek godly wisdom, God will give you wisdom, and then you will gain understanding. It works together. Put your finger here, guys, and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So this was interesting. 1 Corinthians 2 will be starting at verse 6. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And if you read through Corinth or Corinthians, it's first and second, you know the Corinthian church had its issues. And so Paul says something interesting here, starting at verse 6. He says this. He says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." That's encouraging. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom from God ordained or predetermined before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, and this is quoted from Isaiah, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And that should be an encouragement to my guys. You know, think about, if you think about in terms of heaven, think about the greatest and coolest thing that you could have on earth. Heaven's going to blow that away. Verse 10, but God has revealed, listen to this, but God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And here's what he's getting at here. Well, I'll keep reading. Hold on. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and this is a quote from Job, I believe, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Here's what Paul's getting at. In order to understand the things of the Lord, you have to have the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Amen.
How do you get the Holy Spirit inside of you? You ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You believe on him as Lord and Savior. And then you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And when you get the Holy Spirit in you, you then begin to understand spiritual things. You ever meet somebody who's not a Christian, who reads the Bible and goes, I don't understand this? Well, you wonder why they don't fully understand it? It's because they don't have the Spirit of God. See, again, the Holy Spirit's job is to testify and to point people to Jesus. And Jesus is what? Jesus is who? He's the living Word of God. The Word of God is all about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you and then helps you to understand spiritual things. So what I was getting at by sharing this is this. It's like wisdom. If you ask for godly wisdom, God will give it to you. Then you will get real understanding. Without godly wisdom, you won't have real understanding. If you rely on your understanding, we just said this in Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, because you're not going to understand the ways of God. You're not going to understand. His ways are not our ways, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. I mean, it just amazes me that God is the creator. He's the almighty. And yet he stoops down to have a relationship with us. That's incredible, guys. But again, if you ask for godly wisdom, God will give it to you. And when you have it, you will gain understanding. But without it, you won't have it. Now back to Proverbs chapter 8. So again, verse 9. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. So if God reveals his wisdom to you and you have wisdom, you have then understanding. So then you'll understand what this life is all about. It says, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge. In other words, be more concerned about receiving wisdom than getting your stuff. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For listen to what it says here. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Her who? That's wisdom. Think about that. Man, if so many people would understand that. Because here's the thing. We talked about a little bit about this on Sunday. You know, I've heard so many different people's testimonies who don't know the Lord, who are rich, who are famous. And no matter how much money they have, no matter how many people they sleep with, no matter how many houses they own, no matter how many what this, how many that, they're never satisfied. Because your flesh is never satisfied. You never have a right perspective on this life. But once you get saved, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You ask for godly wisdom. He gives you understanding. He gives you a biblical perspective on this world. And then those things become not as important anymore. Or at least they shouldn't. See how it all works together? But amazingly here, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. And it's true. You know, I can look back on my life and think, man, if I would just ask God for wisdom in this situation instead of doing what I did, I'm such a dunderhead. And the thing is, you know, God is very gracious. You know, he forgives us for our mistakes, for our stupidity. And a lot of sometimes, man, he redeems our stupid things we do. It really does. I mean, how can you not love God? How can you not love him? How can you not be humble before him? But, you know, it's always easier when you do the right thing, isn't it? Now, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Again, this idea of self-control, judgment, a good judgment. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. You know what discretion is? And we talked about this before. Discretion is the ability to make proper decisions. I don't know about you, but I want that decision. I want that. I want to have discretion. You know, kind of discretion, like, you know, if you're going to go meet the president, maybe you should wear a suit and not your bathing suit, like a regular suit. You know, the ability to make proper decisions. If you're younger here, if you guys can learn how to do that at an early age and walk it out the rest of your life, you'll be in such good shape. I'm telling you, man, I wish I had discretion sometimes. So take that to heart, guys. Anybody else testify this? Yeah, everybody can testify that, for sure. He goes on, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. See, God hates those things. You understand that God hates those things. God hates what's evil, but listen, he hates pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance have no room for a Christian in a Christian's life, none. So when I see pastors who are very prideful, oh boy, they're in trouble. When I see other Christians who are very prideful, oh boy, they're in trouble. Verse 14, counsel or advice is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. So again, wisdom is speaking still in a sense. I, wisdom, okay? Then it says, by me, by wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Isn't that so true? My goodness, that's what we're lacking in our government today. Wisdom. Just wisdom. Let's see. If we don't have the money, should we spend it?
I work for the government.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sorry. It's true. Verse 16, by me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. Listen, you can tell when there's a leader. And it doesn't have to be a world leader. It may be you as a leader. When you don't exercise wisdom, you can get yourself into all kinds of trouble. And the thing about leadership is, you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting everybody else too. And that's one of the things, you know, we're getting silly season now, Pa, you know, the election, right? You want to really know about somebody who you know really has the right heart and wants to serve? Is they're worried about other people. They're not worried about themselves. They're not worried about even getting reelected. What they're worried about is telling the truth, what needs to be done. And there's not many people anymore who do that. It's this idea. You ever hear the term statesman? You can tell who that is. I'm Chris Shook and I approve that message. Verse 17. Listen, it says, this is wisdom speaking. I love those who love me. I love those who seek me and diligently find me. And the idea there is when you're seeking and you're doing it diligently to find something, you're not going to give up until you find it. And so many of us oftentimes will give up so quickly when we should be seeking godly wisdom in our life. He goes on, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. And my revenue, now when he says revenue, he means produce or yield. My revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness, or I walk about on the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wow. And so through these verses, verses 14 through 21, there's some things that are rewards and benefits of wisdom. There's good counsel. There's sound judgment. There's understanding. There's moral strength to do what is good. There's leadership, the ability to lead properly. There's judicial skills, making good judgments. There's affection and companionships. There's enduring riches. There's honor and righteousness. And there's character and guidance. You get this all from biblical wisdom, from godly wisdom. So why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want it? Now, this next section, verses 22 through 31, it's the origin of wisdom. Where did wisdom come from? The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. See, God used wisdom and intelligence in the design of the universe. He did. Think about it. God knew exactly how much elements to use in the atmosphere to make it so we could breathe as humans. He knew the right exact combination. He knew exactly what to do with gravity so that we wouldn't be floating in space. He knew exactly where to place the earth enough or far away enough from the sun so the sun wouldn't scorch the earth and nothing could live on it. God did that. Like there's this term that scientists use when they don't want to say God, they say intelligent designer. Listen, God is an intelligent designer, but let's be frank here. Call him God because that's who it is.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Listen, before his works of old, I had been established from the everlasting. In other words, wisdom is eternal, folks. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. And when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world, that is the beginning of dust. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, a master craftsman. I was his daily delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Incredible. Wisdom was there for the beginning. So it's like, okay, wisdom was there for the beginning. He was there before we existed. I should say she, because that's how she is. Imagine what she's seeing. Right? It's kind of like, you ever sit with your grandparent? I remember sitting with my grandfather and just for hours talking to him. I'd mow his lawn. I miss my grandfather. He died in 2012. But I would mow his lawn as a teenager and we'd sit in his back porch and we'd talk about life. And man, the man was a wealth of knowledge, just about life in general. And it wasn't like we set out, we had to talk about this particular issue. We just talked about general things. And it was so neat to listen to him because it was from the time he was smaller till then, and the things he saw, how society changed, how there were so many new like inventions of things, how things were in many ways so much easier then than they were when he was a kid. All these cool things, and boy, do I miss that. But my point is, he was there before me. So imagine what he knew. It's like when you have kids and your kids argue with you, and it comes down to like, hey, you're 4, okay, and I'm 30. I'm gonna know more than you just because I've lived longer than you. So wisdom has been there from the beginning. Think about that. Wisdom has been there from the beginning. Now, interesting, verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, in 1977 they found that there were actually fountains in the ocean. And this was written 960 BC-ish. So the Bible knew before the scientists knew. Very interesting. Do you know, when they try to prove with science the Bible's wrong, they always fail. They have to lie. They have to lie. They can't tell the truth. Again, like I said, some scientists have come to the conclusion, yeah, there had to be a designer. We didn't just, come from ooze and we're hairless apes. But we can't call that thing God. We have to call it intelligent designer because if we call him God, there's all kinds of implications there. My favorite phrase during COVID was trust the expert. That was my favorite phrase.
Yeah, right. The expert was God.
Listen, I'm not gonna, okay. Do I say this?
Yeah.
Okay. I will just say this. I will just say this, okay? This week, if you've been paying attention a little bit, Dr. Fauci testified. He basically admitted that the whole distance thing was made up. So, I mean, it was, that was my impression. Sorry. That was my impression. Anyway. So my point is this. He was an expert, right? But yet he admitted they made it up. And I'll just leave that there. But here's my point, guys. My point is this. You need to seek God for wisdom with everything. Because here's what can happen. You can be in a situation where everybody's telling you to do one thing. The world's telling you you should be doing this. You need to seek God's wisdom. He'll tell you what you should do.
Amen.
And that can be hard. That can be very hard. But again, you young people, if you learn to do that, you're going to be better off in this life. Trust me. So verse 30, then I was beside him, a master craftsman. I love how it says that. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. See, I'm reading these verses. We're going through these verses. Compare that to chapter 7, the adulterous woman, who personifies the foolishness of this world. My goodness, doesn't it sound so much better?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the last few verses, verses 32 through 36, this is going to be, man, I'm cruising through here tonight. It's going to be a short one tonight, guys. Sorry, but hey. But listen, the last four verses here, this is the final appeal now. So wisdom has kind of been personified in the first 21 verses. Then it's telling you the origin. Where did wisdom come from? And now, this last part of the chapter here is, it is a final appeal to someone. It's like wisdom's making its last case now. Okay? Here we go. It's like if we were in a court setting, and wisdom was trying to make this case that you should follow wisdom. Wisdom's going to make this final appeal. Listen to what it says. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Do you want to be blessed? Well, then keep the way of wisdom. Hear the instruction and be wise. See, fools reject instruction. Isn't that so true? You guys ever work at a job where somebody new starts and they're an expert, right? They're just an expert. And you try to show them things and they think they know everything. And they're like, okay, fine, go for it. And then they fall flat on their face. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Listen, if you're whether you have a boss or you have parents, if you're younger, or whatever, if you're listening and you're receiving instruction, and if it's godly instruction, then you should receive it. Because hopefully if it's godly instruction, the person has wants what's best for you and is going to give you that kind of instruction to help you. Instruction helps. We all just weren't born, knew how to like drive a car, you know, or do like equations. We needed instruction. And I don't know about you, but like you can tell when you're in school, you can tell the teachers who really care about the kids learning what they're being taught. And I'm so thankful for some of the teachers I had who were like that because I learned it thoroughly and I learned to understand. I learned to actually enjoy learning. It wasn't just a paycheck for them. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. Blessed is the man or woman, quite frankly, who listens to me. See, again, you want to be blessed, then listen to wisdom. You want to be blessed? Listen to wisdom. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. In other words, eager to find out. It's almost like, I wonder what wisdom's going to say about this. Let's find out. How many of us actually do that? I'm not saying I actually speak like that. Wisdom, what do you think? That's not what I mean. But, you know, we can relate. You ever have a friend, a really good friend, and sometimes you, like, have a situation and you go and you ask your friend and you want to know what your friend thinks because you trust their judgment? All the better, godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is like a friend. So again, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me, finds life. Wow. Whoever finds me, finds life. Wow, you really want to live this life? You really want to find life? Find wisdom. Start with wisdom first. Here's the thing about wisdom. If you have biblical wisdom, godly wisdom, you will live a pretty good life because in a sense of you won't do stupid things to kill yourself. You know what I mean? Put yourself in situations like that. Remember the from last week, the adulterous woman? And she said, oh, my husband or the man isn't home. And in the beginning of part of chapter 6, it says about how the husband's fury because it is adultery. Remember that? So wisdom would be, don't have the affair, right? Verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains or gains favor from the Lord. Do you want to be blessed? You want to gain favor from the Lord? Here's what you do. You find wisdom. You find wisdom. But who sins against me? Listen to this. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Do you want to wrong your own soul? Then sin against wisdom. And all those who hate me love death. Okay, this is going to sound like a strange example to you. When I was in high school, I wasn't a Christian. And I used to listen to some pretty nasty music. And the music, some of it, was about death. There was this one particular group, I won't name who because I don't want you to go Google them. The lead singer of the group had an heroin addiction problem. And the lyrics that he wrote were always kind of wrapped around his addiction problem. But if you listen to the lyrics, they were so depressing. And I will tell you, as a kid who grew up in suburbia, who didn't have a whole lot of problems, quote unquote, I would listen to this music, and man, would it make me feel like terrible. So I know there's people out there who don't believe music influences you. Music does influence you. Does music make you do it? No. You make the choice to do whatever you're going to do, but it still influences the way you think, the way you look at life. Why do you think there's so many love songs? Because everybody can relate to it, right? Well, anyway, listening to this music, there was some pretty dark music. And there was this other group I listened to one time where the lead singer talked about the courage to kill yourself. Now, thankfully, and I will tell you a little bit of my testimony, I was dating a girl for about a year or 2 years. She broke up with me, and I was really in a bad way. I had made her an idol in my life. I didn't know how to function without her. And I attempted to kill myself over this girl. Thankfully, I didn't. Thankfully, God showed grace to me, and that didn't happen. But here's my point. It can happen. It wasn't like I planned on doing that, but that's what can happen. And what didn't help was I listened to some of this terrible music. Because the music is almost like, go ahead, do it. Go ahead. You show how strong and heroic you are if you do it. No, you don't. No, you don't. Listen, the thing that we need to understand is God has created all of us as individuals, so all of us has a purpose in this life. Our first purpose, number one, is to be someone who fellowships with God. Our second purpose is to worship Him. And you really want to boil it down? When you're younger and you're a boy, your purpose is to be a godly son. If you're a daughter, a girl, you're a godly daughter. When you get older and you get married, godly husband, godly father when you have kids, godly wife, godly mother. Let's boil it down to all those things. Somebody one time said to me, you know, God made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't. God loves us as individuals. And, you know, one of the things that our culture is crying out for is that, is to understand that there's a purpose in your life. And there is. Nothing that this life can do to you is worth ending your own life. It's not. God is so much greater than that. And, you know, I try to encourage people, especially younger people, look, if you just put your life in God's hands and you trust Him, it's going to turn out better than you ever could have imagined. Oh, it may not look like somebody else's life, but that's okay. But see, God has created us as individuals. Not one of us is exactly the same. And that's the beauty of it. And that's how God made it. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. He calls us all as individuals, but then He calls us to this big family. And it's wonderful.
Amen.
Verse 36 again. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And it's true. It's so true. It's funny, when I started listening to that music, I felt better about life. Go figure. But more importantly, when I got saved, man, did that change my perspective on this life. It really did. It made me realize the most important thing in my life was God. And I've never looked back. Oh, I've had my moments, don't get me wrong. I've had my seasons where I've kind of wandered off a little bit. But see, here's the problem. Once you taste of the Lord, you can't go back to the world. Because the world offers nothing that's better than Him. Nothing. I always come back. Because I've experienced that relationship with the Lord, that fellowship with Him, and it just changes your life forever. Anybody else relate to that? All right, we're going to stop here tonight. I had all these notes to read, and the Lord doesn't want me to read them. But see, wisdom is available to all of us. She's calling out to us. Are we listening? Are we seeking her out in our life? As I said before, I can tell you here, I can stand here before you tonight and tell you that when I sought godly wisdom, God gave it to me. And when I followed godly wisdom, my life always went better. Things always went better. And I always was blessed in the end when I did that. But when I didn't do that, oh boy. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again this evening, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, your wisdom is so wonderful. And thank you that your wisdom is available. First, Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone watching tonight who doesn't know you, or anyone who would watch or listen later who does not know you, that they would take the step of faith tonight. That, Lord Jesus, they would simply say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised on the third day. And Jesus, I believe that you can forgive me. So Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life from this day forward. And I pray, Lord, that that person does that, that they would let us know. For the rest of us who already know you, Lord, life is hard. And Lord, all of us know what it's like to make bad decisions. All of us know what it's like to make decisions apart from your wisdom. So Lord, help us. Help us to always consult you. Help us to always look to you. Help us to always ask for your direction so that we live in a way where we walk in wisdom, we have understanding, we live with discretion. Please, Lord, help us. We want to do things that honor you. And that's the kind of the point of this life, Lord, is to have fellowship with you and that the things that we do in this life would bring honor and glory to you. Would you help us, Lord? You've given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Would you help us, Lord? Would you speak to us as we read your word? Would you truly listen to us as we cry out to you in prayer? And would you empower us by your Spirit to live a life of wisdom? Lord, we thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the cross. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.